It was October of 1840, and the ancient West African kingdom of Dahomey was ablaze. Once again, its people's lives returned to the normal round after another one of King Gezo's warring campaigns. It had been waged 80 miles north of Abomey against the Atafan people. Gezo had marched with 38,000 men and women. It was a matter of course for the 15,000 soldiers of the standing army, including 5,000 Ahosi, the elite female troops. But those who were not part of the regular army, almost 5,000 and 18,000 commissariat followers, were just happy to return to their lives again as peaceful farmers, merchants, craftsmen, and artisans. A soft breeze caressed the land, visible by the sway of the trees, and birds sang atop a baobab tree. For Adehoa and everyone else living in the village of Atogon, the harvest had ended, and the time of the palm trees to bear its kernels was near. It was a time of celebration, a time to thank the earth Vodun for life, the sky Vodun for rain, and the ancestors for their guidance. Adehoa's life was filled with good fortune, one good coincidence after another. Need there be a reason? She thought. But truth be told, they're just ordinary events. No one can deny that. It's their frequency that astounds. It all started with her dance of anticipation. After that, many people whispered the Vodun were singling her out for some special purpose. Adehoa stood quietly beneath the palm trees. Such a simple tree, she thought, and they're everywhere in Dahomey. Everyone, commoner, noble, or royalty, owns the palm tree under which is buried their umbilical cord. For it is the guardian of our fa, our destiny. Adehoa made her body rigid, clenched her fists above her head, took a deep breath, and pulled her three souls to her. One is inherited or ancestral, and she said a prayer to the ancestors, asking for their guidance through the difficult times. The other, the creator in her being, and her personality, for which she will be held accountable. A moon had passed, and the second rains had come, and the planting for the second annual harvest had begun. For Adehoa, her measure of labor for the day was finished. She walked in from the land of her grandfather, Iwanzi. She fell behind her fellow workers, her eyes drawn to the children helping their mothers in the fields by keeping the birds away. They were people of no consequence, according to the notables and others of high rank, Adehoa thought. They were the poor, the tenant farmers, the servants and the slaves. Yet they learn to survive and find joy in what little they have and not let misery or pain or suffering annoy them. Thus, in the end, we are all just people, Adehoa thought. In another field, former slaves and their children were at work. It is good that the lives of their children are not predestined. They will not inherit their parents' status as slaves. They can buy land and farm it, or choose another profession, or even marry into the household of their masters. One thing remains as before. The descendants of the slaves of Iwanzi's grandfathers are obligated to work for him one half of each day. Adehoa dreamed of making a big name as a trader. She hoped that her deeds would be known in the great trading towns in Dahomey and the legendary lands of Kumasi and Benin. I want to see those places for myself. I want to know how it is there. I want to match my skills against the best. It was not so long ago that I had no thoughts beyond living the life idly by as a hammock-born lady with status and a large inheritance of palm groves, cattle, and money. For the palm groves, I can thank my maternal grandmother, Lady Glia. The sons would have inherited all, except for Lady Glia's cunning and crafty maneuvering through the complex Dahomeyan legal system. I must learn about this legalism that Africans and tradition hold so dear.